slave trader, and there's, and he is supposed to be some sort of great guy. Of course he wasn't. He was making money from misery and racism, as many, of course, were in those times. And so I think
pretty
it's absolutely right
that,
that there was some kind of challenge to this being a prominent person. And that's why they've done this. I think that's the only reason. Look, I think that this is, in a way, a bit of a side issue, because this bill, what it will do is it will give the police discretion as to which demonstrations they close down. Of course, that demonstration I'm talking about last year wasn't closed down. There were just a handful of police around. If we get to the situation where the police can pick and choose who they like and who they don't like, if there's a particular, say, for example, an anti-police demonstration, they come in with the riot police. If it's Extinction Rebellion, they start dancing with the demonstrators, then this is a police state. And that's what most people are objecting to when they say kill the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gosling. There's one final question. We really don't have that much time, so Mr. Tweedy, if you could please make it quick. Why do you think there is so much rush on voting on this bill? Why not give parliamentarians more time to scrutinize it?
I don't think it is being rushed. I mean, it's only just passed the second reading, and now it's in the House of Lords, and that will take a long time. They'll make amendments to it, and that will go back to Parliament. And if the government doesn't want to accept those amendments, so it's going to be quite a long period of tennis where they.
So you do believe that there will be enough time to scrutinise the bill?
Yeah, there's plenty of time to scrutinise it. It's been published and people can read it. You know, the question is, why did the Labour Party abstain on it in the first place and then vote against it the second time? It's just because of what happened on Clapham Common. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The Labour Party is playing a political game. Firstly, that political game was not opposed to government.
Thank you very much. So, Mr. Gosling, just one final question, make it quick. Are you as optimistic as Mr. Tweedy? Do you think there will be enough time to make changes to this bill?
Well, there'll be many more demonstrations, and that's what we're going to be seeing, because we've got something like a million people, particularly, I mean, most of the arrests at these demonstrations have been basically young people between the ages of about 16, 18 and 22, 25. I've seen the figures of, you know, the ages of people arrested in Bristol. We're talking here about the young people are scared about their future. They think that there is no future for them. There's no jobs. There's not the education they're getting is very poor. And so they're saying, if we cannot actually demonstrate against changes that we believe which are going to affect our future, then we are going to make some changes right now. And I think that the youngsters have decided that this bill is simply not going to go through, and they'll stop at almost nothing to make sure they send a very strong signal to our politicians that they are going to be there on the barricades, and we could even have a civil war, as I said. If you're going to make up to a million people who can't afford rent and mortgage, criminals, then, of course, you're going to have a serious problem on your hands, and I don't think the government really wants that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tony Gosling, investigative journalist out of Bristol, and journalist and commentator James Tweedy out of Plymouth. Thanks to both of you gentlemen for joining us on this edition of The Debate, and also thanks for following us.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa
This is a short part of the interesting book of Sirru Salat by Imam Khomeini. My son, all that I recommend to you in the first degree is that do not deny the stations of those of mystic knowledge, for such is the way of the ignorant. And avoid association with these who deny the stations of the pious, for they are robbers in the path of God. Leave selfishness and egotism, for these are Satan's heritage, that because of his conceit declined God's command to bow to his caliph and chosen one. Know that all of man's miseries emanate from this satanic heritage that is the essential base of the principles of sedition. My son, try to attain this victory or some of its degrees. Try hard and reduce carnal passions, for they are endless. Ask Almighty Allah for help, for without His aid, none can get anywhere. The prayer, this ascension, and the mystics and journey of the lovers is the way to reach this destination, and if you and I succeed to realize one rak'ah of it and see the lights concealed in it and its mysterious secrets, we shall have scented some aspects of the destiny and purpose of God's pious servants and have witnessed a vista of the ascension prayer of the favor and oblige is by His blessing. The road is long and winding and requires much provision, and the provisions of me and the like of me are scarce or nil unless the mercy of the friend, the glorified one, come to our aid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with another program of Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the religion of Islam. Imam Khomeini has said that we believe that the only school of thought that can guide and advance the society is Islam. And if the world wants to be rescued from the thousands of difficulties with which it is entangled today, and to live humanly, it has to move in tandem with Islam. So Imam Khomeini is basically offering a very good deal to the world, to the whole world. The world is facing different problems. They have different difficulties. For example, we know that there are some countries where the suicide rate is very high.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
even such countries which I just, I did not mention the name, but I said that there are countries which allowed people to suicide. We can see in technology how much they advanced, in trade how they advanced, in having the, we can say like the worldly, the mortal, we can say like facilities, they are number one. But still there is a problem, and the problem is they do not have any spiritual peace, and that spiritual peace can only be gained by following the Islamic rules, by following the Islam. So it is actually Islam which will take them towards the peace, which will take them towards a society which is incorruptible society. So may Allah give us all tawfiq to understand the teachings of Islam and to follow the Islamic teachings, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
It's not the first time China's foreign minister Wang Yi has visited Tehran, but this time there's a historic difference. On Saturday, Wang Yi and his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Javad Zarif signed the much-anticipated 25-year comprehensive strategic partnership agreement. The Sino-Iranian deal was announced in a joint statement during a visit by the Chinese president to Tehran in 2016. The cooperation roadmap consists of 20 articles covering Tehran-Beijing ties in a range of economic, political, and security areas. There are reports that the pact would see Iran supply China with oil for 25 years. In return, China would invest in Iran's ports as well as banking and telecom sectors, which amount to some $400 billion. The deal has sparked mixed reactions by observers, with some saying the deal is one-sided toward China.
The deal is yet to be finalized, and the detail will gradually be publicized in the future. But what's clear is that China needs Iran's oil. In fact, China has always been a major buyer of Iran's crude oil with or without the deal. So Tehran should be careful what it gains in the new agreement.
Others say the agreement is a geopolitical win against a common opponent, the United States, which is engaged in an economic war with both China and Iran.
The aims of the U.S. maximum pressure campaign is to isolate Iran. And improving relations and having strategic relations with countries that can resist the United States pressures, countries like China, is going to be essential for Iran's foreign policy. Sanctioning Iran is going to be much more difficult. Iran is dependent on U.S. dollar when Iran's trade with the other side is going to use yuan or other currencies. That's going to be useful for Iran's trade.
China is Iran's number one trade partner, but this economic partnership has been restricted by the U.S. banking sanctions against Iran. In 2020, bilateral trade between the two states was less than $20 billion. Both sides agree that the new pact will pave the way for broader partnership, not only in economy, but in politics and security. It's crystal clear that Iran and China are strategic partners. China continues to buy Iran's oil amid the peak of the U.S. sanctions against Iran. But the new pact is a milestone. Observers say at a time when the U.S. is using its currency as a punishing tool, more countries are expected to jump on the wagon and create a united front as a counterforce to the U.S. economic pressures. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The end of winter means that homeless and poorly housed people can be evicted again. These protesters demand decent housing and the end of evictions. In France, more than 300,000 people are homeless. More than 700,000 people are poorly housed. But 3 million of houses or apartments are empty, and millions of square meters of offices remain vacant, which is a record. These are official figures from INSEE, the National Institute for Statistics. Is there a solution? A French law from 1945 allows the requisition of empty buildings, but the government refuses to apply it.
Public authorities are obliged to give accommodation to homeless people. If not, the government is illegal. Secondly, a law exists on empty buildings, which is still not applied. Entire buildings are empty since decades because the value of these buildings increases more by leaving them empty than by renting the space to people. The state should automatically requisition them.
But instead of organizing decent housing, the French government has spread rumors that it will evict more people than former years, without necessarily providing an alternative accommodation.
Me and my children are housed at my friend's home. My husband is at his friend's home. That's our situation for 15 years. Since more than 15 years, we are demanding a social accommodation to the city hall. That's insane.
In a spectacular protest action this week, homeless migrants deployed 300 tents at the Place de la République. The homeless and poorly housed people demand to be housed in decent places. They say there are enough empty buildings to accommodate everybody. What a dramatic contradiction between these people living in tents and huge empty buildings like the Samaritaine here in the center of Paris.
The COVID makes the housing crisis worse, but the real problem is the speculation on real estate that leads concretely to an outburst of the rents, to the eviction of people so that the apartments can be sold empty.
The police supervised thoroughly this march in Paris. Housing people in empty buildings is apparently touching a sensitive chord. Similar marches took place on Saturday in many French cities and also in 20 other European Union countries. This proves that the housing issue is a global problem that should be resolved not only by the French government, but also by the European Parliament and European Commission. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
Just ahead of United States President Joe Biden's long-awaited first press conference, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell made the media rounds claiming that substantial economic progress has been made. However, that contradicted extensive new data from the Fed itself, which found that the economy contracted in February, while their national activity index plunged into the negative for the first time since last April, the peak of the pandemic. The index, based on 85 indicators regarding personal spending, employment, retail sales, and production, has been in the negative over the average of the last 3 months, disproving widespread bullish talk that the U.S. economy is recovering. What is certain is that there was no so-called snapback or V-shaped recovery. Instead, a K-shaped recovery has become cemented, with the wealth of the upper class increasing while the lower and middle classes continue to plunge. Biden recently approved a $1.9 trillion emergency coronavirus plan, but it didn't include a single long-term social program. He also backtracked on key issues such as a $15 minimum wage, student debt relief, and the size of household stimulus. This week, top pollster Ipsos found that Biden's approval rating plunged 6 points.
The Democrats do not want to have all the power to run the country, because when they do, it becomes obvious that they're not doing it on behalf of anybody but the ruling class. They're doing as little as they can to keep the pitchforks, to try and keep the pitchforks at home and not disturb the profit-making powers of the profitable industry of healthcare, for example.
George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump all refused to boost the economy of the everyman despite prolonged economic malaise. Failure to remedy the terrible economic data from 2020 and over the first quarter of 2021 could cause major dissension in an incredibly polarized nation.
Fascism comes in on the failure of social democracy. They get angry. There's not even social democracy to fail. They may try social democracy, but they're not at that point yet. They're in control of things. This is one of the reasons I think fascism is an imminent threat, because what do they have to gain by it that they don't already have?
The U.S. is betting that a major coronavirus vaccine rollout will return economic growth to pre-pandemic levels no later than the second half of this year, hopefully. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Hours after the Yemeni army launched one of its largest retaliatory attacks on the Saudi-led coalition, thousands of Yemenis took to the streets of Sana'a to mark the National Day of Resilience.
The gathering today is the gathering of those who trust in God. These people have proven that they were able to take advantage of the war to develop their military capabilities. Today, our victory is crowned by our ability to stop Aramco by using our strategic deterrent weapons.
Yemenis say the seventh year of Saudi rule will be different as the Yemeni army is escalating its retaliatory attacks against Saudi facilities, pushing the kingdom to stop its years-long rule and to move toward a political solution to protect its oil giant Aramco from Yemeni attacks.
Yemeni people have withstood the aggression surprisingly. The Saudi enemy declared this criminal war from the White House in Washington to bring the Yemeni people to their knees, but they failed because Yemenis trust in God. 6 years ago, Yemenis woke up to the bombing of Saudi airstrikes and the bloodshed of children and women. And today the Saudis and Emiratis woke up to the burning of their oil companies by our missiles and drones. This proves that Yemeni people are getting stronger year after year.
Earlier, the Yemeni army inaugurated the seventh year with the National Day of Resilience operation against several military and economic targets in Saudi Arabia. The operation is the largest so far and used 18 drones and 8 ballistic missiles.
Thousands of Yemenis have gathered to mark the seventh anniversary of Saudi rule and siege of their country. They say their army now is capable of forcing the kingdom to stop its deadly war without conditions. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
In the English town of Batley, a local grammar school has caused major controversy after a teacher showed a blasphemous cartoon of Islam's holy prophet Muhammad to students during a religious studies class. Outraged parents of Muslim students began protesting outside the school gates on Thursday, demanding the school take action against Islamophobia.
The incident from Monday, 22nd of March, must also be investigated from a criminal perspective.
Yes.
Given that it was a clear attempt to stir up religious hatred. We also use this opportunity to call upon the entire British Muslim community to review the materials being taught in their children's schools.
Batley Grammar School reacted quickly, suspending the teacher, launching an investigation, and apologising to parents. However, the British press and politicians have opted to condemn the protesters instead, adding further fuel to the fire.
I was disturbed to see scenes of people protesting outside the school. That is not right. We shouldn't have teachers, members of the staff of schools feeling intimidated.
The creator of the universe, Allah, the most merciful, doesn't need a crowd hanging around outside the school.
Many details about what the protesters have been demanding are not clear. Press TV spoke to locals to find out more.
As far as I know, the parents have been very, very responsible. I mean, many of the protesters are not even parents, and the parents have acted very responsibly, very, very professionally, and they should be commended. You know, they're basically the victims of this situation, but they're also the stars of this situation, that they've basically acted in a calm, collective manner. They've not made any unreasonable demands to the school. They've not asked for anything untoward to happen towards the teacher. They've been very, very responsible, and they should be commended for their stance and for their actions.
The school has acknowledged that the resource used in Monday's lesson was completely inappropriate and had the potential to cause considerable offence within the community. However, many online are now arguing that Muslims need to accept insults on the Holy Prophet as part of freedom of speech, and if they don't like it, they have to essentially lump it. However, with further Muslim action planned elsewhere in the country, and also the media continuing to hype up the story, it's likely that things will continue to escalate going forward. Robert Carter, Batley.
After firing two cruise missiles Sunday, North Korea launched two ballistic missiles early Thursday morning.
U.S. President Joe Biden responded.
There will be responses if they choose to escalate. We will respond accordingly. But I'm also prepared for some form of diplomacy, but it has to be conditioned upon the end result of denuclearization.
The latest launches are widely considered to be in violation of UN Security Council sanctions against Pyongyang, which are strongly supported by the United States and limit North Korea's ability to develop its economy. North Korea's recent missile tests demonstrate that maintaining the status quo in terms of ongoing United Nations Security Council sanctions is unacceptable to Pyongyang. And experts agree that the timing of the tests was clearly designed to influence the Biden administration's ongoing North Korea policy review. Experts argue that the U.S. needs to live up to the Singapore summit agreement between former U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which was violated with recent joint U.S.-South Korea military drills.
From North Korea's perspective, the South Korea-U.S. military exercises, pressure on human rights, and sanctions are threatening. Pyongyang needs to be guaranteed the right to live. If the U.S. has a sincere attitude before approaching North Korea, they will get a response.
U.S. officials recently toured the region to consult allies, with expectations the Biden administration's new policy toward North Korea will be announced within weeks. Frank Smith, Seoul.
EU leaders have concluded the first of a two-day virtual summit, which was dominated by the bloc's highly controversial COVID-19 vaccination program. It was confirmed during the event that more vaccines have been exported from the EU than have been administered to the bloc's own inhabitants.
Companies have to honor their contract to the European Union before they export to other regions in the world.
So the EU's ban on vaccine exports, when deemed necessary, is going ahead. But critics say the damage has already been done due to the European Commission's mismanagement to date. The leaders' summit was given official data showing just 4.1% of the EU's population have been fully vaccinated. A third wave of the coronavirus is taking hold in the 27-nation bloc. Cases are spiking, most notably in France, Poland, Italy, and Germany. Infection rate increases are being recorded in several other EU nations, including here in Belgium. This means hospital admissions are rising. More are being transferred to intensive care units. The bottom line is people are dying due to the pace of the EU's vaccination rollout programme. There's economic disaster looming for millions of businesses in the EU as new lockdowns are announced. In some nations, jobs are being lost at a record rate. The tourism industry is on its knees. Citizens are frustrated.
Our government was telling that it would be better in May and the opening of the cafes, restaurants and so on. And nowadays, I don't dare make a plan.
For the moment, the situation is so difficult that everybody's complaining about everything. And I understand that. It's not easy.
Critics say the health, social and economic consequences of the EU's failures during this crisis are not yet fully clear. Analysts warn there are likely to be dire political consequences for the establishment. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A massive air show in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. The armed forces flexed their muscles on the eve of Pakistan's National Day. Pakistan celebrates every year the very idea of its creation in the name of Islam over 80 years ago, when this part of the world, together with India, was under the imperial rule of the British. The significant part of the air show was the acrobatic maneuverability of warplanes known as JF Thunder. Pakistan indigenously manufactured them in cooperation with China after the US stopped the supplies of F-16 fighter jets. Pakistan is fast reducing its reliance on the US for military hardwares, with the growing role of China in the indigenous production of its high-tech weapons with focus on fighter jets.
Pakistan is today manufacturing the JS-17, which has excellent capabilities
in a way is replacing the F-16. And if even the spares are denied to Pakistan, it seeks those from other countries or tries to manufacture it within Pakistan. The U.S. has many restrictions and sanctions. It's relying more and more on China and other European countries.
Pakistan had 4 wars with India, 3 of which over disputed Kashmir region, divided between 2 nuclear-armed neighbors in South Asia.
Pakistan is a strong nuclear-armed state. Beyond an iota of doubt, the peace in the region is linked with the fair solution of Kashmir dispute. We want to move forward with a desire of peace, but let me make it clear that our desire for peace must not be mistaken our weakness. Any misadventure against Pakistan would be responded back with a full force.
According to a study by American think tanks like Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and Simpson Center, Islamabad is far outpacing New Delhi in the development of nuclear warheads, and Pakistan would possess more nuclear weapons than any other country except Russia and U.S. within the next 4 to 5 years. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
After more than 2 months of almost unprecedented delay, United States President Joe Biden faced journalists in his very first press conference. Biden often read from prepared notes and spoke for just an hour. He selected the reporters who could ask him questions and avoided the conservative media, which has regularly asked that he finally engage with journalists without scripted questions or aides to help him.
Biden doesn't have any. Why? I think you're... the speculation is very valid that he is in cognitive decline. They're worried that he can't, he wouldn't be able to hold up over press questioning for a while. They're worried that he won't be able to hold up if he had to give a good big speech.
Biden fielded questions on changes to voting laws and the Senate filibuster tactic, avoided questions on gun control, and said he expects to run for re-election. Even though the country is in the middle of the worst socioeconomic crisis since the Great Depression, the mainstream media journalists allowed to attend awarded the largest portion of their questions to a problem outside the country's borders, the increase of refugees from Latin America. There appeared to be very little of the often extreme combativeness and skepticism towards Biden as there was towards his predecessor, Donald Trump. During the presidential campaign, both mainstream media and social media corporations were routinely accused of giving Biden preferential treatment. Corruption allegations involving his son went ignored, while many said Biden rarely faced difficult questions.
There's the right-wing press that, of course, are going to attack him. And then there's the press that support him, and they're not going to say anything critical of him. They're not going to say anything critical of certain Democrats either.
On foreign policy, neither Iran nor Russia was mentioned. Regarding Afghanistan, Biden said it would be hard to meet the May 1st deadline set for America's total withdrawal, but he also said that he did not picture troops still occupying Afghanistan in 2022. Keeping up his antagonistic stance towards China, Biden alleged that Chinese President Xi Jinping, quote, doesn't have a democratic bone in his body. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. From the very heart of evergreen forests, under the starry sky of the desert, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains. Close up, Iran.
An Iranian nature traveler. To know more about the wonders and beauties of magnificent Iran, keep me company. Living lonely in a deserted island? Yes, I know, it's a kind of like fantasy. Exists just in movies. However, today I'm going to take you to an amazing island in the Caspian Sea. You might ask yourself whether the Caspian Sea has an island. And then I'll tell you, yes, it has an island called Ashurada. Ashurada Island is the only island of the Iranian coast of the Caspian Sea. This island is located in Miankale and is 10 kilometers to Bandar-e Turkaman. Being equipped with facilities like gendarmerie, school, shops, mosque, and Husseiniye since many years ago, Ashurada Island was home to more than 1,000 people who used to do animal husbandry, constructing, and fishing. However, after the island was flooded in 1993, the locals left the island. Ashurada initially consisted of three islands, but the sea tide submerged the two other islands, and today only one island is left. Ashurada Island's vegetation includes raspberry bushes, sour pomegranate trees, to name a few, and its wilderness consists of fox, jackal, rabbit, fish, seabirds, pheasant, and partridge. Also a type of boar as well as a type of wild horse live in the island that are able to drink salty seawater. I am now in Bandar-e Turkaman. Just beside me there is a pier with boats around. Here, there is also a small market which sells handicrafts. And here, oh look, Turkaman traditional outfits. I love these beautiful colorful guns. And of course, these scarves with their special designs and patterns. I'll buy one of these scarves for my grandma after my visit to the island. Now, heading to the Ashurada Island. The sound of sea waves and the noise oars make with water is really pleasant. How calm it is! And the salty smell of the sea. Ashurada Island. More beautiful than what I had imagined in my mind. Oh God, there are so many birds in here. And among them, flamingo. Ashurada is a kind of like hangout for migrating birds. And look at there. Wild horses. They're really gorgeous. And before I forget, let me tell you something. Ashurada doesn't have any hotel or residence. This place has only a coffee shop, which I'm going to taste its tea after roaming in the island. Until next time, goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his prophet progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show entitled Light Upon Light, a special program on birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam on 15th of Sha'ban. Congratulations to you and all the Muslims all around the world and all the freedom seekers all around the world, and Muslims and non-Muslims have to be happy. Those who are awaiting for the last savior to come, inshallah he will come and he will save the whole world. In our previous special program that we were with you with the presence of Sayyid Muhsin, Sayyid Muhammad Muhsin, we have been discussing a very beautiful point concerning the culture of awaiting the Imam. Sayyid Muhammad Muhsin claimed that this every event that we experience and see in our life has a root in the history, and it has been repeated already. I mean, this is a second time to be repeated. It has already sort of, let's say, background in our lives and even in the history. He said that the concept of awaiting was seen in the history and was reported in history, and What is important is that how we should tackle with this concept, how we should prepare ourselves for the awaited Imam to come. If we are awaiting for such a noble entity, what are our duties and what are our obligations that we have to regard, not to repeat the history in the wrong manner that it was done, actually. Say, salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to you as well. Thank you very much, my dear brother.
Thank you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. All praises only Allah's, Lord of the worlds. May His peace and blessings be upon the Master of all Prophets and Apostles, Muhammad, Allah, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt, especially Imam of Age. And I would like to say salam.
We were talking about the duties, obligations, and commitments of the waiters, those who are awaiting for Imam Ali Salam. You have beautifully started with a scenario that, okay, this concept was, has been reported that it happened in history. And the kind of, let's say, confrontation that people had with this concept was not that good. So we have to be careful what should be our duties. I think you have started it beautifully, that they say this concept of the culture of awaiting intidhar has some roots in the history. I'd like you to continue that discussion. It was beautifully mentioned, and inshallah.
Thank you. Yes, you know, now there are a lot of people claiming being awaiters, mm-hmm. being the most righteous and true awaiters of Imam of Age, Imam of the time, Al-Mahdi, may Allah is in his glad advent. Like I said, in the time of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, more than 40,000 people gave allegiance to the ambassador of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, but except for 72 out of 40,000 people, they became the hostile and enemy of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Even there were good people, I'm not going to name them, they left the ambassador of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, alone. They couldn't believe him as the ambassador of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. While they were awaiting the advent of an eligible savior to save and deliver them from tyranny, injustice, and the cruel kings that they owned in that time. Is that right?
True.
So I think now you can just feel it a little bit how much they were awaiting for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. It's exactly like what our feeling these days, mm-hmm. where we are really harried and tired from injustice in the world. We from the tyranny and injustice of bad kings in the world, bad presidents in the world, bad bosses maybe we have. We are not having the life that God wants us to have. Mm. Is that right?
True.
So we are awaiting the advent of a savior who is called Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, according to Sunni and Shia.
And day and night, true, and day and night we're praying for that day to come and for that last Savior to come. Thank you, Sayyid. So I think it's the peak of our discussion now. I think we have to cut it. Sorry for the interruption.
Yes, no problem.
We have to have a short break. Inshallah, we'll be back after a short break.
Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, is the 12th leader of the Shia Muslims and the promised savior of all religions and faiths. The Holy Prophet has also foretold the birth and the coming of Imam al-Mahdi for many times. Mahdi is a descendant of Lady Fatima, and he will fill the earth with justice and fairness, as it will be filled with injustice and oppression before them. The 12th Imam has the name of his ancestor, the Holy Prophet, but the Holy Infallible Imams have not allowed us to call this Holy Imam by his name in the time of occultation. Therefore, the Shias followed the Holy Prophet, who had chosen the title of Al-Mahdi to refer to the 12th leader and the promised savior of all mankind. Imam Mahdi was born on 15th of Sha'ban, 255 after Hijra, in the city of Samarra. His mother had no signs of pregnancy to the last few hours, a miracle which didn't let the Abbasid spies and caliphs to learn about the birth of the 12th Imam. By the God's will, Imam Mahdi was born in secrecy, and he lived with his father for 5 years away from the eyes of the Abbasid caliph. The mother of Imam Mahdi was a Roman princess called Narges. She was a descendant of Saint Peter, one of the apostles of Prophet Jesus. After having dreams, Lady Narges joined the slaves and captives who were being taken to Iraq. This led to the marriage of Imam Hassan al-Askari and Lady Narges, who was destined to be the mother of 12th Imam and the savior of all mankind. The existence of Imam Mahdi was kept a secret for 5 years after his birth, since there were serious threats to the life of the 12th Imam by the Abbasid rulers. There were only a few inner circles of the loyal and trustworthy companions of Imam Hassan al-Askari who were introduced to Imam Mahdi as the last Imam. Imam Mahdi was 5 years old when his father, Imam Hassan al-Askari, was martyred. He appeared in public for a short time and performed prayers on the dead body of his father, and then he disappeared quickly. For 69 years, the famous four deputies were the only way to communicate with Imam Mahdi. This period is called the Minor Occultation. 69 years later, in 329 after Hijrah, Imam Mahdi wrote a letter to his last deputy and told him, "Death will come to you within the next 6 days. Do not nominate any person after you. From now on, anyone who claims to have seen me is a liar. The major occultation will continue as long as God wills. The major occultation has not yet ended." During the occultation era, Imam Mahdi is not distracted from the people's affairs. Like all other imams, he lives on this earth and fulfills his duties as an imam. However, no one knows him except for those who are allowed, those who serve Imam Mahdi as his assistants and helpers. Imam Mahdi has said, "The way to benefit from me and my occultation is like to benefit from the sun when it is hidden behind a cloud." The coming of the last savior, Imam Mahdi, can be foretold by a series of signs and marks. When these signs actualize, Imam Mahdi, along with Prophet Jesus, will rise again to spread peace and the servitude of the Almighty God. It also should be noted that the coming of Imam Mahdi is not synonymous with the spill of blood and killing. In fact, the Imam will invite the world to peace and the obedience of God, and he only fights those who tend to oppress others.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, and our discussion concerning the last savior and the duties and obligations of the awaiters of Imam Sayyid was beautifully mentioning about the duties and how previous people in previous nations, how they awaited for an Imam to come, but they did not do the right thing in the right time.
Yes. They did not abide by their promise to their Savior. That's why they were not saved in that time. And they had a very bad life, even worse than before. The reasons, if we want to talk about the reasons, I can just now, for the shortage of the time we're encountering, I can just refer to two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one was love of worldly gain and avarice. Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, said, "Inna an-nas 'abidu ad-dunya wad-dinu la'qun 'ala al-sanati." It means people are certainly people of that time. Mm-hmm. He was talking to them, and maybe now we may find some of those people
who are the addressee of this world. Yeah,
that's right. People are certainly the slaves of this world. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, says, each word, each letter of these beautiful hadith, they are giving us very important lessons for our future, which is related to coming and advent of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. The religion is only a slaver on their tongues. They turn it wherever their livelihood demands. If they are examined by misfortunes, the religion will be very little to them. That's why many of them in that time, many of those who warmly invited Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, many of those who introduced themselves as the most righteous evaders because of the worldly gain and avarice, they wanted Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. They said, he is a just person. He has justice in his life. And we can earn more ill-gotten wealth and money. Mm. He won't bother us. Many of them. If we are tired of injustice because we are seeing the just thing as an injustice thing, we shouldn't be like that. The second reason was ignorance. Ignorance. Many of them, just because of lack of analysis,
lack of analysis. They were persuaded, they were seduced by giving some money from those cruel kings. They were persuaded. They said, okay, we will wait here. So they wanted Imam's advent for their lives, not for the sake of Allah, not for being firm on the path of servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their goal and purpose was just worldly gains and avarice. It was the reason. You know, we don't have the love of
Savior. I think you want to take some lessons from this behavior that people had at that time.
That's right.
To implement based and to act upon the lessons that we are taking from that time.
Sure, sure. You know, they didn't have love of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. They didn't really have that. A newlywed person, how does he act towards his newlywed wife?
Mm.
He chooses the color she likes. He chooses the perfume she likes. He wears the best clothes that she likes. But what is our duty? If we say we love Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, and we're awaiting him, God says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ. The best clothes that Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, loves is the garment of righteousness.
Mm.
If I am not putting on this garment, I'm not loving Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, and I'm not awaiting his glad advent. That's why Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, أَزْيَنُ الْلِبَاسِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. The most beautiful garment for a true believer is the garment of righteousness and virtue.
So we have to bring something, and that thing, that the provision that we need is taqwa, piety,
mm-hmm.
virtue.
Yes.
So we should not, again, be deceived by those elements that people were deceived in previous nations.
Sure.
So I think this is a very beautiful and, I think, good, let's say, advice from say today, that alhamdulillah, you gave us a flashback to the history to see what the awaiters did to their imam. And we have try not to repeat those things and those acts that reach them to the wrong side and going astray. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, Sayyid. Very
welcome.
Beautifully mentioned.
You're
scholarly
welcome.
Answered. Thank you and you. And once again, I'd like to offer our congratulations on birth anniversary of Imam Ali Sam. And I wish and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be and include us among the real followers of Imam and real awaiters of Imam of the age, Imam Mahdi Ali Sam, based on beautiful reasoning and flashback that the Sayyid had to the history. Inshallah, we will be included in the followers of Imam Ali Salam. Wishing for the last Savior to come, I leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.